Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
And Danny in Reston. We're at the Craft House Reston at the Reston Town Center. We'll be here until 6:30, 2.5 hours this evening as you guys get out of the office to have a little late Friday afternoon pep rally ahead of Commanders Raiders. No Jaden Daniels, Marcus Mariota at the controls on Sunday. Congrats to caller 10 at 800-636-1067. You're winning a pair of tickets to see Adam Sandler. It's the Year of My Best Friend Tour, Saturday, September 27th at Capital One Arena. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com/events, courtesy of Live Nation. We've got a chance for you to win tickets to Adam Sandler today at 5 as well, and at 6 o'clock for the final time this week. So each of the next couple of hours on the show, you'll have a penultimate and then a final chance to win these tickets.
We wonder, what are you doing to protect your family's assets? As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condori and Morag can help you draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com, and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Let's kick off the Beltway Blitz. Nats, Commanders coming up. We start on the college gridiron. I love the pipes of Bill Roth, and he joins us now, generally via the crystal clear Comrex unit. Bill, welcome to the Beltway Blitz. Let's talk State of the Union here for the Hokies. It has been quite a week in Blacksburg.
It has been. You know, the Hokies are 0-3. The fans are looking for a win. The team is looking for some consistency, and the administration now looking for a new head coach. So that's where we are after 3 weeks, and that's the way things are in college football in 2025. So hopefully tomorrow Tech plays Wofford. Also 0-3, the Hokies can get their first win, and the Hokie Nation can feel a little bit better about itself.
So Brent Pry is, by all accounts, an exceptional human being. You know him better than I did. He came on our show a couple times. I actually rooted for him because I just thought he was awesome to talk to. But it's gotten ugly, and kind of the status quo was clearly unacceptable, whether that was his fault or somebody else's. You can't get worked by Old Dominion. You can't get blown out by 60 without a point over a two-game span carrying over there. How did it get so bad, do you think?
I think there's probably a lot of different reasons for that. Obviously, you know, they had 30 new players this year after losing so many really good players last year, and it never came together for them. They're dead last in the ACC so far in defense. They're only a little bit better, 14th offensively. Kyron Drones hasn't been as consistent as they had hoped. Sam Sefkis, the new defensive coordinator, is trying to figure things out with a bunch of new guys. And the interim head coach is Phil Montgomery, who had been the offensive coordinator. He's the former head coach at Tulsa. The key now, you know, not only do you want to win a few football games, but the NCAA transfer portal rules are different now this fall. And so you have 30 days now to put your name in the portal. So not only are they trying to win a football game here tomorrow and then conference play starts next week, but keep the team together. Because a kid, you haven't played four games yet, they're allowed to redshirt and transfer and not use lose a year of eligibility. So Virginia Tech and on the West Coast, UCLA, kind of in the same situation where you've only played three games. And the interim coaches, they've got double duty. Keep your team together and get ready for games.
Bill, what will be different with Phil Montgomery as the head coach?
Well, hopefully they'll be a little bit more consistent. You know, they played three good quarters against South Carolina in week one, and they played decent in the first half against Vanderbilt. They had a 10-point lead. So they've shown some signs. That sounds like coaching cliche, play four quarters. But for an 0-3 team, they've played some good football, just not enough to win a game yet.
This is a matchup, though, that it feels like if you're going to try to start anew here, Let's do it against the Terriers. They come in 0-3.
Yeah, and the one thing that's really unique about this is they've not played a conference game yet. So they have Wofford tomorrow, and then they'll have 8 ACC games. So the story of this season didn't start out very well. Chapter 1 was bad. But they hope that they can turn it around starting tomorrow. And I'm excited to see how they play. By the way, a couple of things for tonight. I know that we're talking about tomorrow's game, which you can hear on The Fan. But two things. The Hokies have their Hall of Fame induction tonight, and Kendall Fuller is going into the Hokies Hall of Fame tonight.
Oh, awesome.
A Baltimore guy who was drafted by Washington and won a Super Bowl with Kansas City. But the other guy going in, you guys, I don't know if you know him or not, Kevin Barker played baseball here at Tech. Kevin then played big league ball with the Brewers. Today he is one of the afternoon sports talk show hosts on The Fan in Toronto. So he is essentially the Grant and Danny of Toronto.
Oh,
is awesome. Going into the Virginia Tech Hall of Fame, thus becoming the first afternoon sports talk show host ever inducted into the Virginia Tech Sports Hall of Fame.
Kevin Barker.
How about Kevin Barker?
I like that.
When was he at Tech, Bill?
He was there in the final year of the Chuck Hartman era. So right at the end of the Big East era and then going into ACC play. So 22,
like
3, and 4.
Yeah, so I wonder if I probably missed him by like a year or two when Tech was in our conference back in the day. Big picture question here, Bill, for Virginia Tech. I still think of them as that you know, gritty team that may not be as talented as the next team, but is always going to be well coached, disciplined, and going to get the double digit wins. That's only been the case once since 2012 when they won 10 games in 2016. What's it going to take big picture to be successful there, to kind of get back to some of what we saw for so many years in a row down there in Blacksburg?
You know what a lot of the folks talk about these days, whether it's coaches or athletics administrators, is alignment from your president to your athletic director to your coach, the financial backing of each institution. And clearly, as you look around the college football landscape, the teams that spend the most money are winning the most games. So I think it probably comes down to that. That being said, I talked with our ticket guy earlier today. Hokies are 0-3. They're playing an 0-3 FCS team tomorrow. And they're going to announce, I think, later today, the game is sold out. So it's a remarkable cultural thing here. They had a packed house last week, and they're playing Wofford at 0-3. And the Hokie Nation here, at least, the folks coming down from D.C., are acting as if they're undefeated and ranked in the top 10. It's really cool. And I think that's what does make it a very attractive job, that the fan support, win or lose, has been very consistent. They've only won 10 games once over the last decade. But nearly every game is sold out in a 66,000-seat stadium. So that's encouraging for our program moving forward.
Bill, thank you. It is good catching up. We will listen to you on the call tomorrow.
Sounds great, guys. Thanks. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, buddy.
Let's talk some baseball on the Beltway Blitz. The Washington Nationals. Nats trying to get back going again after a four-game sweep at the hands of the Atlanta Braves. They have hit the road. They rattled yesterday. They're at Citi Field to take on the Mets. 7:10 first pitch. Tonight, about 3 hours from right now, Bobby Blanco, MassinSports.com. Bobby, tell us about the game and set the scene for the series for us against the Mets.
Yeah, like you said, the Nats are coming off a lull of a week. I mean, four games in 3 days against the Braves. They get swept in all four. Not a lot of positives to take away. But now you get a chance to go up to New York, Citi Field, and this is your last opponent on your schedule that is in playoff position. The Mets have a two-game lead for the final National League wildcard spot with just like 9 games left to go in the season. So the Nationals could go into Citi Field and try to play spoiler for a rival and maybe knock them out or at least hurt their chances at the postseason this weekend. And then it starts tonight with Andrew Alvarez. I mean, right now I'm just like excited to see young guys play and perform, especially these young pitchers. I'm talking about Andrew Alvarez and Cade Cavalli specifically, guys who have had very limited major league experience. But has pitched pretty well. This is only going to be Andrew's fourth major league start, but he has looked impressive over his first three, pitching to an ERA just over 1. His last outing against the Pirates was fantastic. 6 shutout innings, 5 strikeouts, only 1 walk. So he's finding the strike zone pretty well. So I'm looking forward to see how he handles probably his toughest test yet in the New York Mets lineup.
GP, two things happened the other night. One, it was a massive rain delay where Bobby, me, and our guy Toby Altizer hung out, and I ate multiple servings of ice cream. The second thing that happened was Bobby and I, with an aggressive strategy, I thought Bobby did a really good job of convincing Toby to play something besides like one of the two sports games that he has. So we did something pretty big and significant there. That's number one, so credit to us. The second thing is, a stupid idiot that you know, Bobby, like this is one of the dumb people that we have, okay? This guy is an absolute moron, said on these airwaves, it's not important who, but he said after a couple of days, look at the start Kaber Ruiz is off to. How great is this guy going to be? Came in great shape. We met him. We talked to him about it down in the spring training. He's in for a great year. Another forgettable season from Kaber Ruiz. I'd forgotten that he was still on the roster. He's been gone for so long because of the injury. What's his future?
Getting Toby to download Last of Us was my winning off the field for this week. So shout out to Tobes for doing that. Kaber, a lost season. You're right. I mean, he came out the gate pretty hot. Looked like he was setting himself up for a really strong season. And then injuries. And then not just injuries, but a concussion, multiple concussions. Yeah. And it's more so like not what's his future with this team, but it's what's his future in baseball. I mean, they tried to get him out into a rehab assignment. He got to Double-A. I think he played in a handful of games, but had to be shut down because he kept getting concussion symptoms. And that's like just kind of scary overall to hear. He took a couple of foul balls off his face mask again. And with the position that he plays, that's obviously going to happen. And Kaber has been a catcher. I mean, I don't know if there are numbers behind this, but I just feel like Kaber has been hit more than any other normal catcher. I mean, he gets hit when backswings, foul balls, balls in the dirt, hitting him in uncomfortable places. So, yeah, I mean, I think, it was a bad season for him statistically as a baseball player, but almost worse as a person. Like, I just kind of feel bad for him that he can't shake. Last time I talked to him, which was about a month ago, he was saying, like, you know, he still has trouble with bright lights and loud noises, and he has trouble sleeping. And that seems like that really hasn't gone away since. So I'm more concerned about Kaber the person than the player right now. I hope he can get back to kind of a normal life, have a normal offseason, and then maybe we can discuss more about his baseball future. Maybe he can play a little bit of first base. I don't – maybe be a full-time DH. He's a switch hitter. I don't really know. But, yeah, it was a really tough year physically for Kaber, and I just hope for the best for him.
Bobby, thank you.
Yeah, boys, enjoy the weekend. Thanks.
See you, buddy.
Grant and Danny's Beltway Blitz live from Reston at the Kraft House today at the Reston Town Center. How about we talk a little Commanders?
The Washington Commanders.
Substack Standig. Ben Standig is with us on G&D. And Ben, the team actually did it today. They ruled Jaden Daniels out. He's not going to play, and Marcus Mariota is going to start. One of the things I found interesting, though, we'll circle back to this game in a second. When asked about how close Daniels was to playing, Dan Quinn just drove 8,000 miles through that stop sign. How sure are we that this was like we're just protecting him from himself and he really wanted to play and he was ready to play, but we're being extra cautious and not of course he's not going to play. He's still several days away from being able to do anything meaningful on the practice field.
Yeah, I mean, it very well could be some subterfuge going on. You know, the media was out there for the first 15 minutes or so of practice, stretching, things like that, as we typically are. The other three quarterbacks were out there, not Jaden Daniels, but then Dan Quinn said later that Jaden Daniels was a limited participant because he did some running and some throwing, which means they waited until we left, presumably, to bring him out. Why would you do that unless you don't want us to see it, right? So, you know, who knows? It's hard to speculate about any of these guys, especially with the quarterback. It's a real question. It's now, okay, he's out this week. Are we sure he's going to be a play for Atlanta? I guess we'll deal with that next week, but I couldn't say for sure right now.
What's the difference between Nick Allegretti and Andrew Wiley?
Nick Allegretti is Jewish. Did you know that? That's one difference.
I did not know that, actually.
I was unaware of that information.
I did not have that. So, I mean, actually, that would be the answer, I suppose. I was looking more for like a football, who's playing right guard thing, but I like that, Ben. That's why you subscribe to Ben's Substack right there.
I far be it from me to be, I'm not Joe Bugle, some O-line guru, but watching the play all training camp, to me, Wiley looked like the better option. He was playing all over the place, and you know, Allegretti was largely staying inside. I just thought Wiley looked like the better guy. He was a starting guard when he was at Kansas City, and I just thought it made more sense. I just didn't think Allegretti looked that hot to me. Now, why did they go the other way? I don't know. I think that Wiley, you know, gives them, if they agree that he's a better guy, I guess there's that. He's going to probably be able to help Connerly to some degree in terms of, like, maybe just adjustments on the fly, seeing as how he's played the position, and my guess is purely like from a roster perspective, I think they're going to use some six offensive linemen lineups because John Bates is likely out. We haven't heard officially, but I assume he's out. And that means maybe Trent Scott is up, but in order to do that, you need how do you shuffle the lineup? Allegretti on the bench means he's the backup center. They don't have to promote Michael Wiley up from the practice squad, and this is a way to sort of shuffle all that around. But I do think, to me, Wiley was the better choice at guard, and you know, at least for this week, they seem to agree.
How do you expect Marcus Mariota to play?
I mean, look, obviously he was really good last year. I mean, better than I think most of us anticipated, for sure. The only rub is he didn't practice basically all training camp. And he has been practicing the last couple of weeks, so that's good. But, you know, timing matters, just getting those different kinds of reps matters, you know all that. So maybe there's some rust, not just because he didn't play the first two games, but because missing all of camp. But, look, he's been around the league for, 10 years. He certainly knows what to do, how to get ready, and be mentally sharp. So I have no questions about any of that. He gives them a mobile threat, not as good as Jaden, but, certainly a guy that can move out of the pocket. So I think all that's helpful. So, I think he'll be fine. But, look, he's going to go out there. Whether he's rusty or not, he'll be out there without their best running back in Austin Ekeler, without an elite blocking tight end in John Bates, without their number two outside receiver in Noah Brown. I have no idea who's going to replace him. And without John Bates, I don't think they really have another blocking tight end. They'll have to come up with something else. So it's not so much what I think about Mariota. It's just like he's got a lot of limited pieces around him. And, to some degree, that could hold him back.
But the Raiders played on Monday Night Football and are flying cross country. You see what I did
that
there?
That is definitely true. No, I'm with you. I heard you advocating for the rest before, and I completely agree. I mean, this is why I have Washington winning because, look, if they're a contender, as they were a year ago, and a lot of people believe they were going into the season, you're missing a lot of guys, including the quarterback. But, the Raiders, for the rest, the travel reasons are here. And, look, the defense, other than Dietrich Wise, is, pretty much intact. If that group that showed up in week one plays on Sunday, then they should be able to handle the Raiders even with limited offense. If they look like the group against Green Bay and they cover Brock Bowers the way they did Tucker Kraft, well, I don't know. We'll see.
Benjamin, how would you expect the game plan to differ now with Mariota under center, as far as we know?
I don't know if I'm expecting, the deep ball hasn't really been in play too much so far this year, but, probably more underneath, get rid of the ball quickly, both to help the line and help the quarterback. I would imagine there's going to be more Ja'Cory Kroski merit this week than we saw a week ago, probably those early downs. Cliff Kingsbury cop to what I've been assuming was why he didn't play much in the last game was because, there's still some growth needed to happen with blocking and some other aspects of the running back position besides the running part. So if he can go in on first and second down and they can get, second and six, stay out of long yardage situation, then I think Bill can have a pretty productive day and get some good work, and that's how they can attack the Raiders, even though I know the Raiders are pretty good against the run, but it's kind of what they have right now. And beyond that, find ways to get Debo the ball, and hopefully this is the week that Terry McLaurin can get going. But you don't want to put too much on Mariota, I wouldn't think. If he's throwing the ball over 30 times outside of them trailing, that would seem like a lot.
Ben, do they win the Sunday?
I'm saying yes, because I'm going to give the defense the benefit of the doubt and say they look more like week one than they do week two. They've got to create some turnovers. It's something that they have not really done yet for real. And, look, I said on offense, they are missing a lot of pieces. Cliff Kingsbury is going to have to be at his creative best. And, they still have stars, right? Laramie Tunsil, Debo Samuel, Terry McLaurin. These guys have to step up, as I'm sure they will, but that, you have those guys. They have to make the plays because other guys are out, so hopefully they do that. But I think
Ben, how can people find you on Substack?
Yeah, appreciate it. Last Man Standing, my last name, .substack.com. It's been a great start when you got great subscribers like the two of you, so I definitely appreciate it. And, yeah, a lot of stuff this week. I did a film breakdown of the Green Bay tight end disaster and updated to the Jaden Daniels story. So, yeah, check it out.
Who are your two favorite subscribers, if you had to guess? Just like
you just picked two.
If you were picking two randomly.
Yeah,
two. Give us two of your favorites.
There's two favorites.
The show before you, I don't think either of them are subscribing, so it's not them. So I'll go you
right.
two.
Yeah, it's
us. We're talking about
it's us. That's what it is.
It's us.
Very good.
It's us.
Benjamin, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you. Good catching up.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
See you,
always
dude.
Does a great job covering the team. So I've got this new high-definition camera that I use.
Yes.
And because it's very clear, if you're watching us on YouTube, this is not to Joan on your camera setting or my camera setting on our laptop.
Wow, right at me on that one. Okay.
No, I'm not saying this. But because I have this high-definition camera that I use for Take Command and I bring with us to these restaurants, it's a clearer image, I would say.
Yes, it is. It's very nice.
While I added some downtime there, I just took a picture of our stream and posted it as my new Twitter picture. But Clary saw me, like, smiling at the camera, staring right straight ahead.
He caught you cheesing a little bit.
And he's like, what are you doing, man? He's, like, texting me, like, what's going on? Why are you smiling at the camera? What's happening? And then I showed him my brand-new Twitter picture, and he looked at me like, you shouldn't have done that. I think it's a good picture. It's perfectly fine.
It is fine.
I needed a new Twitter. I'm a believer in changing up my Twitter avatar about once every few months. I don't like letting it ride for, like, years and years on end. So I needed a fresh new photo.
Okay.
I'm either going to have to do some kind of, like, selfie.
Yeah.
Nobody
wants
that. I just take a picture of the stream, basically, and it got framed up here on camera.
It's got your name on there.
I got a nice brick background behind me in a restaurant. Let it rip. So I felt good about it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It all depends on what you want, right? Because it's not like a studio quality picture. That's not necessarily what you're going for, right?
Do I need a studio quality picture?
I don't know the answer to that. I don't know what you need.
I'm hiring a photographer to get a Twitter avatar. It can't be an egg like all the people that yell at me. It can't be a fake picture like so no one knows who you are.
Yeah, I can't do
that. All the people that I block.
Right.
It's got to be a human being. It's got to be me.
That is you. It's got to be me. There it is right there.
And it's an updated photo.
It is. As of 7 seconds ago.
Some White Walkers in the chin, right?
Yeah.
A couple of those are coming
in. They're creeping, aren't they? South of the wall.
I remember when I was joning on you about your White Walkers.
And what I say, what was the word I use? Rhymes with bait. Starts with a W. Oh, yeah, wait. She's coming. Bob Stanley's right there just waving them.
Coming in hot.
Sending them in.
I mean, it's amazing how quickly after all the children that they just show up. It's almost like it's a corollary thing. And I don't know. I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying it could be.
We may or may not have causation, but we sure as bleep have correlation.
I don't know if it is or it's not, but I'm saying maybe it is.
I literally, it's one of those like time op things on the old that phone popped up the other day, and like my wife and I were texting about, like, hey, look at this picture. Like our oldest son was young at that point, like one or two, and we're in the background. And there is not a Josiah to be found.
Wow.
In my beard. Not a singular one.
Zero sunnies?
Zero sunnies.
Damn.
Just snapping off sliders and cutters.
Well,
zero.
So my wife is, I think she's a fan of like that, you know, when you're in your 40s and I'm not yet close to that. But the guy that has like the salt and pepper look.
Yeah.
I think she likes that. So that's interesting because the other day, it's been a couple months, but she says to me, she's like, are you going to dye your beard? And I was like,
oh, that question.
I was like,
oh, man.
No. Why would I dye my beard? Is that, what a weird question. And then I thought about it later. I'm like, that was a suggestion.
That's a leading question.
That she wanted me to dye. Yep. But she's made it very clear. I would never dye my hair. I'm just not that guy. If you are that guy, good for you.
You're not that guy,
I'm
pal.
I'm not that guy, pal. Not that guy.
Yeah, well, I get those kind of questions.
But why is she cool with gray hair, but then she wants to know if I'm going to dye my beard?
Right.
What's different about that?
It may not look as good. Depends on who you are.
My sister, we get together like a few weeks ago, and she's like, you have a lot of whites in your beard. And I'm like, good to see you too.
Yeah, how are
Everything
you?
Going great. And she's like, are you going to dye it? I said, no, I'm not going to dye it. She's like, well, there's a bunch of different colors. There's some red, there's some white, there's some brown. I'm like, that's my beard.
Yeah.
And her point was like, dye it black. I'm like, do you know how unnatural that would be?
Right, what am I?
There's not one black hair in my beard.
Am I ripped from Yellowstone? I'm not doing that.
What am I, a guy in the NWO Wolfpack? She's like, just dye your beard black. I'm like,
Grant Buff Bagwell over there.
You probably don't work in a salon. That's really bad advice.
Can
you imagine if I just walked in here with a black beard?
Well, yeah, first of all, yes, and please do it.
You'd have to start calling me Blackbeard. Like
Brian Wilson, closer
something.
Over there.
Yeah.
But you mentioned this, and it's the questions. Those are questions where it's like, what time is it? Are you going to fold your laundry? Is a question meaning fold your laundry? No!
Yeah, that's what that means.
That's what that meant. It's, hey, your beard displeases me.
Are you going to take the trash out? As I'm sitting there watching Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, I should probably have it right now. I probably have to do it right now.
That's not is that something you would like to do tonight? Do you think you'll do that tonight? That is a get off your fat ass, fatso, tubbo, fatso. That's how I hear it.
Hey, lazy putts.
Right.
Move your ass.
Exactly. So, yeah, are you going to dye your beard?
Translation. Your beard just pleases me. I don't like looking at it.
But I'm not. I'm not going to dye it.
Don't dye it.
It is what it is, man. We're in this thing together, one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the stretch that we're on continues and I'm like 9 years behind you on everything, I'm in for a lot of white hairs in 9 years.
Yeah, man. I'm telling you, fast track. You're gonna be a city council member. Vincent Gray over there.
Now I'm just looking for brown hairs down here somewhere.
They're harder to find in the middle. On the edges, it's very brown. It's normal stuff.
It's not right? Salt and pepper. It's not pepper and salt. It's salt and...
Yeah, salt and no Spinderella. Right. That's all it is.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. All right, 5 o'clock, Connor Orr, Sports Illustrated, wrote a feature story this week on Jaden Daniels. He's probably had better time stories in the past, if I'm being honest. But we're going to ask him about his piece because it was excellent about JD5. He is coming on in about a half hour. At 5 o'clock, we got more tickets to see Adam Sandler. Next, let's talk how the offense will look with Marcus Mariota at the controls right here on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
I think that's what's been awesome about this team. We kind of preach it every single day, but just the brotherhood, the connection, regardless of how this situation plays out, just knowing that the guys have my back gives me confidence to just go out there and be myself and play to the best of my abilities.
You get a brotherhood from Marcus Mariota? I didn't bring my brotherhood bell with me to the Kraft House in Reston.
It's almost like someone dared him to do it.
Thank you, Derek.
You know what I mean? So like, hey, man, you got to get it in there. Like, as a rule.
Do you think they do that on the way to the podium? Like, someone pulls them aside?
Yes.
They're going over all the notes, Sean DeBarbieri and the PR staff. They're like, all right, they're going to ask you about not starting since 2022. They'll ask you about your Achilles. They're going to ask you if you're, you know, comfortable enough to run everything without practice. And make sure you say brotherhood. Make sure you work in a brotherhood just to make sure you're on brand.
Well, you weren't here. You were out for some reason. Maybe it was the birth of your latest child. But when Linnell and I were doing a show, a couple of D.C. defenders stopped by. And they literally did that bit to us where they were, like, challenging. As they're walking to the studio to meet with us, I forget what the words were, but one was like you had to use something about bowling, and the other one had to do something else. So, like, I asked a question.
Hot dog.
You know, about football stuff. What was it, Darius?
So they challenged Jordan Tamu, to say hot dog at some point during the interview.
Was this, like, a social media thing or just him and the guys?
Yes. Yeah, social media.
Social media thing. Got it. Yeah. And so, like...
Call him on it?
No, I had no idea, obviously. I'm sitting there just trying to survive doing this interview.
Trying to survive? What do you mean?
Yeah, I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Football teams in there. You've seen some football.
I've seen that, yeah. But I haven't seen their football. But anyway, so I'm doing it, and it's going fine. Linnell and I both are getting through it. And I didn't even notice one with the other. I think Tommy was like hot dog, man. I don't know. I didn't know. I just didn't think anything of it. The other guy was like brought up bowling somehow, and I'm like, oh, I guess he's a big bowler. Maybe he's like Gilbert Arenas. I have no clue. And then afterwards, Ryan, like was cackling, like someone had fallen down and hurt their shin.
Oh, so they told you?
Or something. No, I guess they posted it. I don't know what happened exactly, but like Ryan thought it was the funniest thing in the world. I was like, oh, okay. They're like, Ryan's like, dude, they got you so bad. I'm like, they did? Seems, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they did get Danny. They got Danny. They got Linnell as well.
They got
but
us,
they
didn't, I don't quite.
They didn't tell us anything. It was the best part was that Darius and I weren't in the bid either. And then all of a sudden we're scrolling Twitter and we stumble upon the DC Defenders video of this. And they're like, we're about to get like two radio hosts.
This is way after they left.
This was after, like a day after they left.
And did they post it as getting them?
Not getting them, but it was just like, kind of. Like it wasn't saying that we're going to get Danny Rue yet.
You got got.
He got got.
And I did. I was like, I don't quite understand that. Like how I'm the victim here or anything.
It's like a prank that you don't know is a prank.
Yeah. Like this, there's no one jumping around going, ah, we got you. You know, there's no punked. There's no Kutcher.
In fairness, when you get got, your way of handling it is to be quiet, angry, and not acknowledge it.
Yeah. So if that's one. Well, I hope they're all like that.
Well, the last time we got you pretty good was, this is actually a nice little radio insider. You know where I'm going with this.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't want to say the guy's name just because it would be too weird. But there's Danny found some person on Twitter, okay, who's like tangentially involved with the Commanders, I'm going to say, right? And this person posted something. And it was an innocuous comment you made that where you're like, oh, that guy had some information on the Commanders. And so for the next couple of days, anytime Danny asked us any question, we brought up that guy's account was where he should go because he was like, oh, very zealous in talking about this guy's account one time, right? So this went on for a couple of days, basically. But it became this running bit with the show. And every time we would bring up this guy's name, so we're going to just say his name is Ryan Clary, Danny would get really upset. He'd either walk out of the room or just not. We'd all laugh and high five, and he'll ask something like, "Hey, what segment are we going to do this thing?" And we'd be like, "Why don't you look at Ryan Clary's Twitter account?" And he just got so annoyed by it after a couple of days, as he should have.
It was actually like asking for a real thing. No, I'm just explaining.
You did
else.
Nothing wrong.
Yeah, asking for like a real answer or like wanting information or like all I was looking for was preseason snap counts.
Yes,
and you would think it's like go find the Holy Grail real quick. Follow a clues from Indiana Jones's dad's journal. And deal with people that want to kill you. And you would have thought I committed like a capital offense with the way that this was treated, which is fine.
So then we had this TV camera crew come in to do a big interview with us, and it was this formal thing or whatever, and they're recording the show, and it's from another network, another company. And so Ryan on the side, this is like the day that all this is happening, and it's reaching a melting point with Danny being annoyed by it, talks to the producer of this thing and gets the question asked. Basically, at the end of a line of questions for Danny about the person whose Twitter account this was and, like, his relationship. Danny was just, like, staring right at the guy. And, like, to this minute, you can see his reaction. Like, he was so bothered by it. And he's like, I'm sorry, what? He loved it.
Yeah,
so
I said, I don't quite know what you're asking.
I'm sorry, what? And the guy repeats the question, which we have fed to him in this line of actual questions.
And it was also, by the way, respectfully, it was like the most old man way of speaking. It wasn't even a question. Like, in other words, like, he just, again, I'm sure
the delivery was the problem.
No, well, it's a problem. Well, so, like, we're using the name Ryan Clary. He's like, Ryan Clary, one foot in the grave? what does that mean? I don't understand what that, even if I knew what you were talking about, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, that was the quote-unquote question that he asked me. And these guys are doing this. Like, Ryan is doubled over, near vomiting from laughter.
But he
Grant's
keeps
videoing
saying,
it, like, smacking anyone, like, pinching people.
He keeps saying the guy's name over and over. And Danny, like, three times goes, I don't know
what you're talking
he's
about.
He's so mad at him. He goes, I don't know what you mean, man. I don't know what you mean, man.
Well, I want this to be over anyway.
And then finally the guy turns off the camera. He's like, these guys put me up to it. And
I still don't know what it is, by the way.
And Danny
Ryan Clary, one foot in the grave? What? What is
he like looks
yes? No?
And Danny looks at us and looks at the guy and he just stares at us and walks away. But like that was like
that's what I did.
That was a good prank. We got you. But you just
But again, I still don't know what it is. Like
I think you know.
Well,
it was that guy's name being brought up in the middle of an interview.
You got him to say that name, but again, I don't know what one foot in the grave meant. So even if it was a legitimate question.
But you're over-focusing on that
reference.
That's
the only part we should be focused on. It is insane. Like, the whole thing was insane. I don't know what that, again, you're like, well, that's it. He said his name out loud. Cool prank, guys. Like, watch out for these two dudes. They might get you.
You may not be able to drive
home tonight.
Might get
you.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Look out.
All right, let's talk game plan for the Commanders next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Closing in on the start of the initial Sunday of NFL activity in week 3. Grant and Danny on the Fan. We are in Reston at Reston Town Center at Kraft House. The football conversation on the show is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL games live every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Danny, how different do you think play calling and scheme will look without Daniels and with Mariota in?
It'll look similar but different, which I know is a little bit of a cop-out. And here's what I mean. Who is Cliff Kingsbury? What does he want to major in, right? It's a lot of the motion. It's a lot of sideline to sideline. It's a lot of short, quick stuff. It's a lot of misdirection, eye candy, catch and run. It's a lot of things that, frankly, translate between both quarterbacks, right? Where if you're Marcus Mariota, you don't have the world-class, unbelievable throwing acumen that Jaden Daniels does. I think you put Daniels, potentially, with the deposits already in the bank, and then long-term into some of those elite top-level groups that's got the touch, the velocity, the everything you want in terms of accuracy and anticipation. All those things are developing and happening, and he's wonderful, and I love him. Mariota does not have that track record. Like, that's not who he was, and I think they tried to make him that in Tennessee, and he's been better, or is better, when he gets to use his athleticism, is using that dual-threat ability to, you know, make linebackers flat-footed, to make safeties flat-footed, to make people have their heads on a swivel because maybe you peek back to maybe he's already started to take off and run, etc. Use his athleticism. That's RPOs. That's read option type game. I think you see that, which you'd already see with Daniels, but I think you see more of it this weekend.
I don't think it's going to look different at all. I think that's why Marcus Mariota is their backup quarterback. That's why they wanted to bring him in here initially last year. He was a really good fit. Like, there's two ways to go when you build a quarterback room, in my opinion. You can have a starter who is the polar opposite of your backup for that change of pace, almost like you think of thunder and lightning in a backfield as a running back tandem. And that's where you have, you know, a Lamar Jackson, a Jaden Daniels, a Josh Allen type. And then your backup is just a straight-up pocket passer. You know, a guy where you have almost a different playbook. And the idea is actually exactly what you'd think. If someone goes down in-game, I've prepared for this player. Everything I am doing defensively, schematically, is to slow down their dual-threat abilities, and now this guy is just lighting me up from the pocket, not moving around, or vice versa, by the way. Maybe you've got a Derek Carr or a Kirk Cousins or a starter who is going to stand in the pocket like a Tua Tagovailoa. And then the backup, when the next guy comes in, is your Tyler Huntley, you know, someone who just comes in and is, you know, a 800, 900-yard pass given moment or what have you. So a 800, 900-yard passer, I was going to say over a month, or somebody who just lights it up. I think what Washington did is they went with, let's not change anything.
Yep.
Let's make sure that the 50-series stuff, that the, you know, the read option looks, all of the pistol formation, that's what our bread and butter is. It's going to be our bread and butter when our backup comes in, too. And you saw this against Carolina when Jaden got hurt. It was the same offense the rest of the game. They didn't change anything. You saw this against the Cowboys in the fourth quarter of the game where he got sacked to rest him for the playoffs at halftime in Week 18 last year. Mariota comes in, and they run their offense. Now, is he as good as Daniels? Of course not. How many guys are? But I do think he is
very, very similar in style. He's very, very similar in being kind of the poor man's version of what he likes to do. And he can win from the pocket and make throws and protect the football and not put the ball in harm's way and run read option. Who am I talking about? You know, that is, I think, the MO when it's going well for each of those two guys. It's just that Daniels, from an athletic, physical standpoint, whereas everything for Mariota's turned up to like 5 or 6. With Daniels, it's an 8 or a 9. But the skill set is very, very comparable. So if I'm Cliff, I think I drew up one plan. This was not Jay Gruden, who tells us when he was preparing for Jordan Reed, he would always have to have the if Reed's ready and healthy version of his game plan and without Jordan Reed version. Mm-hmm. That's not what this is. You do one game plan, and whoever's your quarterback runs it. Daniels either runs it a little bit more
dynamically,
with a little more electricity, or not. But that's kind of how I see it.
I suppose what you're cooking there. Yeah, I think, as I said, I think it'll be really similar in the sense that this isn't like a brand new offense. Remember the whole, when Kirk Cousins played against Cleveland in 2012, and Griffin was like, that looks like a different offense to me, because it kind of was, to a degree.
Hell yeah, it was.
And so
Kirko Chains comes in and throws for 328. They didn't do that all year.
Yeah, and so I think you're kind of going, wait a minute, that looks like a different team. I don't think it's that, by any stretch of the imagination, because as you said, there's a lot of crossover in terms of the skill sets. But I'm just talking about faders being turned up in a certain way, I guess, to kind of clarify my view on it, is I am – Where I feel like there's a higher ceiling with Jaden Daniels throwing the football than there is for a lot of other guys, a.k.a. like, I can get a big play, drop back, pat the football, McLaurin makes a double move, beats somebody, I heave it deep, he hits him perfectly in stride. I'm not doing that with Mariota, right? I don't think that's, you know, maybe you take a shot here or there, but you know what I mean? Like, I'm not majoring in him those 500-level throws where it's like you're throwing with anticipation to the opposite hash mark, on a deep out with anticipation, driving it, you know, over or in front of a safety, but over a linebacker with just enough touch. I'm not asking him to do that. It's let's athleticism this thing. Let's do a lot of RPO, a lot of read option, a lot of get out in space, a lot of get the ball to my playmakers early and often, more pop passes to Debo Samuel or across Kamara or whatever it is. Use my security blanket and Zach Ertz. I'm not going to try to do too much here because I think I don't have to. I don't think I have to kind of change my calculus with a team that I think I'm better than.
Danny Ruye, Grant Paulson from Reston. We're at the Craft House today in Reston at the Reston Town Center. The news of the day is that Jaden Daniels will miss a start for the first time in his NFL career. Last year, he played through the severe pain of what we now know was a broken rib, according to his own diagnosis and announcement of that this offseason. The team has never really acknowledged that. But he wasn't quite the same for those 4 weeks. He was compromised. He played through it. Clearly, the team is viewing this knee injury very differently. We believe it's a knee sprain. Not sure exactly what in the knee is sprained, but he will not play on Sunday in week 3 against the Raiders. They've decided to rest him, to play Mariota, and now the question is, will we see him against Atlanta? I'm leaning toward yes, he'll be back next week, just because I think they made a mistake and it was a miscalculation. If this is really going to be a possible 2-game thing, to go basically hour to hour with it the way they did, to start off as fast and hard as they did with the possibility he'll play this week, you make everyone think he's going to play next week. Why bring that on yourself to deal with that every press conference? Now next week on Wednesday he's not practicing and it feels like, was there a setback? Is this dragging on? Is this more serious than you thought? Like, you got to set a tone. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And if this was going to be something where he may not play against the Falcons, I think they should have probably come out and handled this whole week differently. Because they operated the way that they did, where they listed him limited today. They're talking about the intense progress he made this week. You know, they made it seem like there was actually a chance as of the last couple of days that he could play this week. It would seem very, very odd for him not be able to play in a week. So based on that, I'm saying I think he goes. But what I'd heard all along was it's going to be a couple weeks before he's himself. You know, a couple weeks is next Thursday, so now you're kind of pushing up against what will be the 17 days post-injury
right.
for whatever's going on in that knee. And you'd like to think, unless it's something that was semi-serious, after 17 days you could be back on the field.
Yeah, your point about what they did this week in terms of the injury, setting the expectations. So if they had said, for example, week to week, obviously the initial reaction would have been, whoa, okay, that's a bit more significant than we thought. That's a longer time. That means there's no chance this week.
Don't you want to oversell it than undersell it?
It's what I would always do, by the way. I would always do that. But
that's football, not what teams do.
Yeah, football teams operate in a very different sphere than we do. So maybe there was genuine thought, rather, that he could come back this week and they – made a judicious decision once they evaluate all the information. who knows exactly how it goes. But, yeah, if you're kind of going, yeah, you know, just didn't quite see it this week, but leaving the door open for next week. And then, as you said, if he's not practicing Wednesday, then it's, well, wait a minute, what the hell happened? So we'll learn a lot, I guess, next Wednesday when they're on the grass after this week.
Adam Sandler tickets, we're giving them away throughout the show. Another pair to give out as soon as we return here at 5 o'clock. We'll be joined by Connor Orr of Sports Illustrated, who wrote a great piece on Jaden Daniels, really got under the helmet with Jaden. You're listening to The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.